This morning, I want to touch on the subject of break through your imprisonment. This has to do with the second series on breakthrough. But you notice I decided to divide the word break through your imprisonment. I'm not very familiar with your liking in terms of movies. You know, sometimes I look at these movies where they have to get an answer to their situation. They were told to go to an island. And in this island, they have to get through several hurdles or obstacles. They have to go through the thick forest. And soon after, they have to get through perhaps a river where a monstrous snake could be underneath. And they had to fight in order to get across that river. And then once they get there, there is a cave. And there is a cave where they have to gradually and carefully thread on the ground in case they step on something that is unusual. Arrows will be flying all over against them. You know, I noticed that times and time again, we do have life where we have to go through one obstacle to another. Am I right or not? How many of you know what I'm talking about? You know, you go to go through one problem, and while you are going through the problem, there's another problem coming right in front of you. And soon after you try to face that problem, then another problem comes up. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Come on. You know what I'm talking about? Have you encountered that? You know, and while you're going to the office, everything was fine, and suddenly on the way, bang, something happened to your car. And then you get to the office, the boss was not happy. And then when you go through that whole scenario, you come back, you realize your wife's car got stolen. Problem after problem. You know, there's a show called The Escape. How many of you seen that show? You've seen the show. You're the only one who's seen the show. How many of you seen the show Escape? Acted by Sylvester Stallone and Arnold Schwarzenegger. Have you not seen? Oh, only Nathan and I who are sinners, who only watch movies like that. They were incarcerated in the world's most secret and secure prison, but Sylvester Stallone has to use his skills to escape with the help from the inside. But this morning, I'm not going to teach you how to escape. I'm going to tell you that by the divine resource that is available will help you to break your imprisonment. In one sense, you will be set free. Somebody say, amen. How many of you are ready to be set free? I know you have been set free for some other situation, but I believe due to the complexities of our lives, there are areas that you may not be aware that you need to be set free because we have been repeatedly going through some of the problems, and this problem has always been your prison. Let me read to you in Acts chapter 12, right on from verse 1 to verse 10. Please bear with me. It's a long passage, but it's a very, very important message. Amen. Tell your neighbor, important message for you today. Yeah, I only hear this side. How many of you? Come on, tell your neighbor. I'm serious. Tell your neighbor. Confess it to your neighbor. It's an important message for you today. Amen. Look at Acts chapter 12, verse 1 to 10. It says this. Once like after another. I'm going to look at verse 1 to verse 3 right now. It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. Now, apparently, James is the first martyr among all the disciples, okay? In verse 3, when he saw that this met with approval among the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. Do you know when the enemy sees something like this and then people are giving the sense of approval, they look for more. They look for more people to arrest, okay? That's how the enemy works. And every time when you see the public give approval for wrong moral policies, they get more immoral policies into the constitution because the public gives more approval. So look at verse 3. When he saw that these merit approval among the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. These happened during the festival of unleavened bread. This is just about before, or rather after Passover, then you will have the festival of the unleavened bread. In verse 4, after arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison. Listen to this. But the church was earnestly praying to God for him. Did you see that? How many of you know that when people are in bondage, the church needs to rise up and start praying? Are you with me? Is the church praying? That's the question that we need to answer as well. Please do not despise prayer, because your problem can only be set free when the people of God start praying. That's why we always encourage you to pray. And while you are praying, do you know that you can be set free as well? So let me go through. In verse 6, the night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. In verse 7 to verse 9, suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrist. Then the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and sandals." And Peter did so. Wrap your cloak around you and follow me," the angel told him. And verse 9, Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. For some of us, we may thought we are in a dream. And verse 10, they passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself. Somebody said by itself. Amen. And they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Wonderful passage. Did you see the picture of the imprisonment? I want you to realize that today I'm going to speak to you how, or rather, to be set free from your own imprisonment. And it has to come under the power of the divine resource. Sadly, today, we can be imprisoned consciously or unconsciously, and by so many unending bad decisions. And all of these have led us into a lot of devastating outcomes. Do you know you can be imprisoned by bad decisions? I want you to see, first of all, to look at what Peter had to face up with. Some of our bad decisions are real traps. And we look at Peter and we wonder, how far can he go? Look at the trap. Look at the imprisonment. He had to face what? Between two soldiers with his hand chained up. Could you imagine that? Lying sitting down on the ground with his hand chained up and two soldiers by his side. There is no way he can escape. And much beyond that, right at the exit or the entrance where he came in, there were another squad of soldiers. And then right on the iron gate further down, there was another squad. There is no possibility for Peter to escape. What I'm seeing here is this. There are limitations and difficulties that Peter had to face. And same thing with our lives. The trappings and the bad decisions we make. If I look at the chains, I could imagine sometimes it is due to our pride that has chained us. Sometimes it is due to our unteachable spirit that has chained us. Sometimes it is due to our bad habits that have changed us. Sometimes we look at things that this is due to our greed or our filthy influence that we received that have chained us. And the worst thing is the thing that chained you is the inner beastly war that is fighting within you. Those are your chains. Those are your guards that is watching you from escaping, from getting out of your problems. This is the kind of situation and the scenario that one may have like Peter is having right now. He was tightly guarded. It was impossible for him. The difficulty is overwhelming for him. And this reminds me that many of us, we have our own limitations. We are confronted by some unexpected troubles. Perhaps you may have to face a court case, and a court case appears to be a losing case for you. Sometimes you are trapped in the rubble, having no possibility in seeing the light at the end. Sometimes you wanted promotion and it's so hard because a promotion is too competitive. And you tend to look at yourself and say, no, I can't. You know what is happening to you? You are having despair right now. You are having this despondency that is simmering inside your spirit. And I believe Peter was despairing. I believe Peter was sitting in the very prison, knowing the fact that he will be placed on trial. And in that trial, it was a biased trial. He will be killed. He knew. It's just like facing the Red Sea in front and the chariots of the Egyptians at the back. There is no way to escape. We face that sometimes in our lives. Like the Canaanites, land full of giants. And the Lord says, go over, possess it. But you say, but Lord, it is hard because there's so many giants. Sometimes we face the war between Israelites and Philistines. And lo and behold, a giant stood up. There is no possible win for them. Just like Elisha's servant who saw the Arameans surrounded the whole entire place. And he was wondering, what are we going to do? Have you ever had this question sometimes in your mind and asking, what am I going to do? I'm inflicted with this problem. I've been affected by this situation that there seems to be no way out. Too competitive, too tied. I do not know. But I have one good news. In John 11:36 says, so if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Somebody say amen. You are free indeed. Look at the book of Judges. Every time when they call upon the Lord, the Bible tells me God heard their prayer. I do not know about you, brothers and sisters, but I want to challenge you every time. I'm saying to you once and for all, cry out to God. Cry out to God. Because when you have Jesus in your heart, you are free. But why are you still having the bondage? Why are we still having that imprisonment? I'm asking you today. Because Peter's situation tells me that there is a way, somebody say. So we're going to see what happened to Peter. Because in verse 7 tells me this. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared and a light shone in the cell. Bible tells me, suddenly. Are you with me? Tell your neighbor, suddenly. Come on. Tell it like as though it's sudden. Come on. Suddenly is unbeknownst to us. If I want to look at it, it's as though when the situation is dark and bleak and everything seems to be surrounded by pitch darkness, suddenly an angel appeared. It's not, in other words, listen, church, it's not according to your ways. It's not according to your plans. That's why when God works, He works suddenly. Because you could probably be planning something right now, and then you never seems to get out. You are still stuck there. But if you only remember, there is a living God who works suddenly. Suddenly, God began to move. How many of you know that God of heaven regulates the situation? If you look at the book of Acts chapter 2, remember suddenly the sound of the wind came. They were baptized in the Holy Ghost. Suddenly. They were all sitting there. They were all worshiping God. But they do not know what's going to take place. But suddenly, something happened. A lot of us are not expecting suddenly anymore. Because when we do according to our plans, isn't it? We said this is plan A, plan B, plan C, plan D. Many of you have A to Z. And by the time you finish that whole stretch, nothing happened. Isn't it true? And after all that you have exhausted, suddenly God came. Because you know why? We are too smart for God. We plan everything out. Nothing wrong with the plan. But when you are planning without God's intervention, somebody tells me, come on, say amen. When you are planning without God's intervention, you will always be shocked with the suddenly. You remember the word suddenly is also a reminder to all of us that God interrupts our plan. You remember on the journey to Damascus, who was going to the journey of Damascus? It was Paul himself. As he was traveling, the Bible says what? Suddenly, the light shone on him. Suddenly, the light came and hit right onto his eyes. Suddenly. I recognize that God is bringing that suddenly into our life because He's bringing the message of hope. He's bringing a change into our life. There is a ladder where the angels go up and down, bringing the message of hope into our lives. And when you and I just going about with our everyday chores, not knowing what is going to happen, then you get a shock of your life. Suddenly, God appears. Suddenly. You know, I like that word suddenly so much, all of a sudden. I like the word suddenly, all of a sudden. Because He interrupts. He interrupts your plan. When I thought about that, you know, some of these people who likes to have, they look for boyfriends and girlfriends. Right? When they look for boyfriend and girlfriend, and all of a sudden they felt, wow, this guy is so good. Suddenly, God interrupts. God broke that relationship. God broke it. You know why? Because God knows that your future is going to collapse with this guy. Why? Because this guy is a sweet talker. Suddenly, God interrupts. How many of you know that there were times when you've been going out with this girl, suddenly God interrupts and breaks it. God removed the girl from your life because it doesn't fit you. And I begin to realize that you and I go through some of these experiences. Am I right or not? You ask the question, why God? I'm looking for a boyfriend or a girlfriend, but why suddenly you did not allow me to have that? You see, friends, we go through a lot of restraint. And we have been restrained by some of our problems. And the Bible tells me that the woman of Zarephath, she did not have enough oil, but Elijah told her to cook. But she doesn't have much oil to cook. Perhaps she will probably die soon after the first meal. But God came and miraculously provided more oil because Elijah appeared. I want you to realize this. Lack of provision is not a lack of resources. Many a time, lack of provision is the lack of priority. It's not the lack of resources. But we do have our impairment, our hindrances and our obstacles. Sometimes you're inhibited by your circumstances where there seems to be no way. And all of a sudden, God appeared and He became the way for you. At the same time as we look into situations where you and I feel like as though we live like dead bones, lifeless. Some of the Christians, when I look at them, my gosh, they are so lifeless. Not less of life, but lifeless. Some of these Christians, I look at them, it's like the whole world is collapsing. They are living a hopelessness. But they don't realize that there is a glittering hope in heaven. And they constantly live by that lifestyle of dead bones living. Lifeless. How many of you know God can breathe life into us again? God can. He has done that. He breathed those lives into us. And that's where the hope begins in our lives. We are not to be trapped by your own physical or even bad decisions. Hope blocks out discouragement and disappointment. I tell you why. Because the Bible tells me this. The light shone in. The angel appeared. I like that. When there are two soldiers right by your side, you know there is not much of hope. And all of a sudden, the angel appeared. And the Bible says the light shone in. When there is the ray of light that comes in, how many of you know that light changes the environment? Amen? That's the reason why a lot of time when you try to wake up your kids and they are sleeping, the curtain closed the window completely, no light shining in, and they were enjoying their sleep. And when it's time to get up, what do? You open the curtain, and then the light shine in. And what do the kids do? Oh, Dad, why do you? Come on, it's still early. The service is 10 o'clock. Now it's only 9:45. Isn't it? We get so comfortable in the dark or the pitch darkness because we are sleeping, having a nice time after playing games until 4 a.m. And then all of a sudden the light hits in and you have to get up. How many of you know that the light that shines in is changing your environment? Amen? Is changing your environment. The light is shining into your dark soul. Is changing your environment. The light is hitting right into your environment that seems to be trapped inside. God is changing the environment. He is preparing you right now. He is sending the angel to send you the message of hope. And the light that comes in is preparing you for the change right now. How many of you want to be ready for the change? Amen? You got to be ready for the change. And you know what happened? This is what happened. The breakthrough is about to begin. The breakthrough is about to begin. What did the angel say to Peter? He says, quick, get up. Quick, get up. You can never get things done if you and I don't get up. Am I right or not? You heard the message 2 weeks ago. Get up, take a man and walk. But here today, it's time for you to get up. When the change is about to begin, you must get up. When your change is about to take place in your life, you must get up. Come on. If you are not going to get up, you can tell me 1,000 times you're going to achieve something you will never be achieved. Peter was downtrodden. He was sitting on the ground. He was despairing. His morale is very low. There is no much of a motivation anymore. The problem is that the enemy, the soldiers, are too big right now, and it's intimidating for him. That's why he's down and downcast. But the angel said, get up. He says, quick, get up. He didn't say, Peter, take your time. It's okay, I'm here. Your angel is here. Take your time. Wrap up everything nicely for you. What did he say to him? Quick! Quick! Quickly get up! If your children are sleeping, quickly get up! Sunday service starts at 10. Hallelujah! If your husband is still sleeping, get up! Get up! Get up! That's what has been saying. You can't get out if you don't get up. Are you with me? You can't get out of your problem if you don't get up. Come on, church. Somebody tell me that I am saying something right. Does anyone sense the urgency today in the body of Christ? Are you prepared for the change? The light has shone. The change is about to take place. What sort of changes? God is bringing healing. God is bringing a lot of deliverance. God is bringing miracles after miracle. Are you ready for the change? Come on. If the church is ready, give him a clap offering to the Lord. Are you prepared for the change? Listen to these. Two individuals. Joshua and Hannah. In the book of Joshua, chapter 7, verse 10 to 25, I want to read to you. Please listen carefully. It's so important. The word is so vital. There's so much truth in these words. Verse 10 says, the Lord said to Joshua, this is just right after they conquered Jericho and things they were not supposed to do. There's a person called Achan. He did it and he sinned against the Lord, his whole entire tribe, his family members. And you know what? When they went to fight with Ai, they just lost the battle to a smaller town. And Joshua was so depressed and sad and sorrowful, and he was downcast. The Bible tells me that he was laying down on the ground, and then the Lord came to him and said, stand up. He said, stand up. What are you doing down there on your face? He said, and the Lord said, Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen. They have lied. They have put them with their own possession. They have been stubborn. They refuse to learn. They are willing to do their own thing. They refuse to listen. I have spoken to them. I told them, stop it. But again, they repeated. I'm saying to you, church, this is the same words that God said to Joshua. Israel have seen. They have not been listening. And church, the people, the Christians, they are just living by the funds and the joy of the glamour, but they are not living by the power of the living word. And this is exactly what is happening when the Lord said to Joshua, they turn their back and run because they have been made liable to destruction. I will, listen to this, this is good. I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy whatever among you is devoted to destruction. And then he went on to say, go consecrate the people, tell them, consecrate yourselves in preparation for tomorrow. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Listen, consecrate yourself because the change is coming. Somebody say amen. Consecrate yourself. The change, the miracle, the healing is coming. God is going to provide. He's not lack of resources. He wants you to know He is here. And this is what happened. The Lord began to say to him, there are devoted things among you, Israel. You cannot stand against your enemies until you remove them. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You have been saying, I want to change. I just want to live a changed life. I want to be a better person. But the Lord said, as much as He said to Joshua, those things that you have in your life, those problems that you have in your life, those stubbornness that you have in your life, you've got to remove them. Remove them. Then you can face your enemy. If you do not remove them, you can't face your challenges. No wonder we always try to plan another plan for ourselves just because we cannot face the enemy. Get up. The angel said, get up, Peter. Be quick, get up. You're going to see God is bigger than your problem right now. You see, I like this. He says, quick, get up. Because many a time, we always look at our problem and we always think that our problem is humongous. We look at a problem as a monstrosity, the bigness. And it's so huge that you are not able to cope up with. But the Lord said to Peter, get up, quickly, get up, get up. Your problem is not that big. God is bigger, come on. God is bigger. I don't care what your problem is. But God is bigger than your problem. I said it one more time. Your problem is not that big. God is bigger than your problem. This is exactly what he said. And Hannah had the same problem. Listen to what Hannah went through. Hannah was so provoked by her husband's second wife. He says, Penina, provoke her. She was provoked because, listen, the word of the Lord says this. The Lord had closed Hannah's womb. It was nobody's fault. The Lord closed Hannah's womb. And then her rival, this is where the provocation comes. Her rival took advantage of the situation and irritated her. And then the Bible says in verse 7, 1 Samuel chapter 1, in verse 7 onwards, he says, these went on year after year. My goodness. How can you take irritation, annoyance like that for so many years? But the Lord never said that Hannah was angry, taking revenge, nothing. He says this, whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. And here the Casanova husband, Elkanah, came in. He would say to her, Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? This is so romantic. Elkanah says, don't I mean to you more than 10 sons? Wow. Don't I mean to you? And I was just pondering it. Elkanah, you must be stupid. It's not about you or your love or your care is about your Penina who has been irritating her. Sometimes husband needs to realize the real problem, isn't it? Huh? Yeah. My wife asked me, just like last week, I told Pastor Ronald when he said, he says, my wife asked me, how come you never say I love you anymore? And I had lunch with him. I said, Pastor Ronald, do you know my wife also asked me, do you love me? And I said, this is a secret, Pastor Ronald. I told my wife, I love you. Then she asked me, do you really love me? Wow, this is like the book of John when Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? Do you really love me? And I told my wife, says, woman, why thou doubt about my words? Don't doubt. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. And then this is something he says in verse 9. Once when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Listen to this. Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on his chair by the doorpost of the Lord's house. In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. And she made a vow, saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. A complete commitment to you, Lord, if you give me a son. That's what Hannah is saying. Brothers and sisters, I want you to realize this. Hannah stood up and went to the house of God in prayer. Some of us, we stood up, we went somewhere else. But this woman went straight to the house of God. You know why? If you are desperate enough for that need, I want you to be so desperate enough to call upon Jesus Christ. Are you with me? I think this is one issue that we need to learn. When God is saying, quick, get up. Do you sense the urgency? Are you desperate enough to get up? Or you say, you know those days when you ask your children to get up? It's so hard, isn't it? To be honest with you, no bragging, my children had not much of a problem. Because I showed them my cane. No problem. Very quick, very fast. Amen. But some of you are just dragging, open up, you know, the blanket is so cozy. And not only the children, sometimes wife may call your husband to get up to go to church. Oh, not again. Bring the cane, that's right. Bring the cane. Bring the cane to your husband, hallelujah. Wow. But look at what happened. When Peter got up, listen, you have to be desperate enough to get up. Are you with me? I think in Christian walk, we don't have people showed enough desperation and urgency for the kingdom of God. It's still a laissez-faire kind of attitude. Come what may, que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. You know what? When you ask for whatever will be, you are asking for trouble. Because you say, whatever will be. It's not going to be a blessing. It's whatever. Trouble comes. Somebody say amen. And this is something beautiful. This is something I want you to look at. Look what happened when Peter got up. What happened? The chain fell off Peter's wrist. Come on, say to your neighbor, the chain fell off. Come on. The chain fell off. You know what? Tell your neighbor, miracles is happening in Jesus' name. Miracle is happening. When you get up, miracle is going to happen. When you get up, the miracle is going to happen in your life. When you get up, the restoration of your family is going to happen. If you get up, relationship can be healed. When you get up, do the right thing and miracle will happen. I saw in the scripture again and again and again. Listen to me. When the Lord heard the cry of the people and when they continue to live rightly, God intervened. Miracle began to happen. Deliverance began to happen. You know what is doing, what is happening today? We are not doing the right thing. There is no miracle. There is no deliverance happening. You do the right thing and you cry upon Him. God will deliver you. God will heal their relationship. God will restore that relationship. I saw that in the scripture, and I want you to know this very powerful truth. The breakthrough is happening in our own imprisonment. But we need to get up, get up, get up. Hallelujah. And don't take your time, please. Be quick. Because when you're quick, it tells me you're desperate for the kingdom of God. Amen? Sometimes when we worship the Lord, Let's all begin to worship God, everybody. Slow motion. And then put down again. Because we don't see the urgency to lift our hands. We didn't see the urgency. I tell you what. This front row is not just for the children. Oh, my row is always pathetic. Nobody wants to sit with me. By the way, that's my seat. I like you, Jethro. We feel so sad. You know what? When you get over the concert and Celine Dion or Beyonce, you know what? I know what Loloi will do. I want to get to the front. I want to see her. Man, she is so sexy. I want to be there. Don't you think so? I saw these young people were there. They were all in the front. But when it comes to church, they are all at the back. Who says I'm not? Somebody tell me that, hey, Pastor, you're right. Amen. There are more exciting miracles. There are more exciting miracles. It's happening. And this is what the angel said to Peter. He says, put on your clothes. Put on your clothes and sandals. And Peter did so. Wrap your cloak around you and follow me, the angel told him. If you ever see someone walking half naked, naked on the top, you know that something is seriously wrong. Maybe he's not prepared. Or maybe he just wants to show off his body, right? And if you see somebody walking nakedly, literally naked, especially some of these soccer game, footy game, you know, some people go crazy. They strip themselves completely. They run across the field naked. What does it show you? It just doesn't show much of a dignity, isn't it? It shows that this person could be mad. But what I saw here, when angel told Peter to dress himself up, he was telling him, Peter, get ready. Get ready for a greater breakthrough. Get ready. Dressed up right now and get ready for a greater breakthrough. When you get up from your bed, You don't drag your feet to the toilet and change when you know your time is late. You got to be quick. Get yourself dressed up for the function. Isn't it true? You don't dilly-dally. You don't say, well, we still have enough time. We don't have enough time. We need to dress up, get ourselves prepared. Listen to this. He's telling Peter, get ready for these coming unprecedented miracle. Never happened before, but it's going to happen. He says, get ready, Peter, because you are in that miracle. Somebody say amen. He's telling you, get ready, because you are going to have this miracle right in your life. And I saw that getting ready is so vital. If you are going to face your victimizer, if you are going to face your giants and your enemy, you have to be ready. And I want you to know this. Many a time we missed out and we lose our battle because we were ill-prepared. How many of you know that as long as you are prepared, the challenge, come on, are you getting there? Your challenge can be conquered if only you are prepared. Young people, if you are not prepared today, you will never be able to face your future. Be prepared and get ready. I have a scripture. You got to know this. This is so crucial. And listen for the word. Paul wrote this by himself in prison. He wrote it and he crafted it beautifully. And I'm going to read to you Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. And this is what he says. Therefore, put on the full armor of God. Listen to this. So that when the days of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. on the full armor. Get ready. Get ready. Dress yourself up with the full armor of God. Because when you face your challenge, you are able to stand on your ground in the name of Jesus. You are not going to let the enemy intimidate you. You are not going to let your enemy bring out problems to intimidate you. You got to rise up. Get up. Dress up. Get ready. Because the time will come when you face your enemy in the battle, you know you will have the victory. Peter, he says, Peter, dress up now. Get ready for the unprecedented miracle is happening. You are in that miracle. So get ready, Peter. And so he got himself ready. And finally, there's something more spectacular took place. What did the Bible say? What did the Bible say? The angel took him through the prison. Am I right or not? Line by line, layer by layer, from the two chains that he was in, the two soldiers that he had, the prison door that was guarded, the angel took him through. The Bible never described to me what happened to the soldiers. Maybe because I watched too much of these Marvel movies, they were all slain. Psh, 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 psh. All slain. And the angels took Peter by his hand and walked through. And he reached this outer iron gate before he can complete the powerful breakthrough. The Bible says the gate opened by itself. Listen carefully, brothers and sisters. When the Lord holds your hand and leads you, you don't have to fight and struggle. The doors will be open. When the breakthrough is going to happen, the doors will be open. Are you with me? When the Lord leads you out, you don't have to bang the door. Come on, open the door. No, sir. You don't have to fight with the soldiers. You don't have to fight with those squad of soldiers in front. You don't have to run and try to bomb that gate open and say, yes, let's get through. No, you just have to let God lead you out. And when he leads you out, the door will be open by itself. Brothers and sisters, listen carefully. When the Lord opens the door, no one can shut it. No one can shut it. We are so impatient. We want to do our own thing. And we try to break the door for a mighty breakthrough for our wealth, our health, and all sorts of things. We try to break it. No, sir. Let the Lord hold your hand. Somebody say amen. Let the Lord hold your hand. And when he lead you out, the doors will open by itself. Somebody say amen. Open by itself. And I want you to know that God is going to help you to break through your imprisonment. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? If you are praying for that, let him take you through. Don't try to struggle and fight by yourself. Do you have your Jericho in front of you? Do you have the Goliath in front of you? Do you have Tobiah, Geshem, and Sambalat during Nehemiah's time, the opposition in front of you? Do you have them? If you do, the Lord is saying, come on, guys, quick, get up, get up, get up. Get up. Get up from your intimidation. Get up from all the trouble. Get up now because miracle is about to happen. And you say, but Pastor, where's the light? The light is in you, brother. The light is in you. Jesus is the light. He has shone inside your heart. You have been set free in Jesus' name. The change is about to happen in your life. The change from a faithlessness to faithfulness. Somebody say amen. The change is about to happen. It's night now for you. Dress up and get ready, because you want to be quick and be desperate enough. If there is a need, call upon Him. Come to Him and start praying. I believe God will give you a breakthrough. In the name of Jesus Christ, because I've seen enough, enough is enough. We take it very lightly. Well, since I don't have this, maybe I should do this, maybe I should do that. Brothers and sisters, I don't have any other plans. I have only one plan for the church. Listen, I have only one plan. The plan is the Holy Spirit. That's about it. I'm not here to entertain you, brothers and sisters. Record it down properly. I'm not here to entertain you. The church is not here to be entertained. The church here is to worship Christ. And the church here is to experience His power and deliverance. It comes only by the Holy Spirit. No more. No more, church. No more. Enough is enough. You want to go and run your own life and hit yourself against the wall? No matter how much you try, you will never get a breakthrough unless and until you let God hold your hands and lead you through. I pray today that you will bring yourself to Him and say, I need that breakthrough. And when I need that breakthrough, I'm not going to sit down and just, you know, relaxing and just take my sweet time. Some of you walk slower than a slow motion. I believe that we should always be desperate enough for the kingdom of God. Isn't it true? Start right, and the breakthrough is going to happen. Because I see the scripture again and again. Breakthrough took place when the people did the right thing. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Calvin Sim from Life Solutions Christian Church. For more information, please feel free to contact us by phone on 0410-985-432 or find us online at www.lifesolution.org.au.